Alrighty. We're on. Okay, so we're continuing in Mitzvah Avera. This might be the last day or so in Mitzvah Avera, but it's kind of, we're going to pick up on a little bit of digressing to some Dina Mominus, Kenyan stuff. But let's see what happens. Okay? Let's see where this takes us. So, I guess let's just take it head on. So it's Lamed Amud Aleph. It's the three lines on the bottom. So it says, Amar lehu Rav Hamnuna, Rahuna, Lahanehu Av Nachri. Okay, so the Rahuna said to these merchants, okay, Av Nachri, Rashi says, Tagrei called Avar the Stakir, but they sold different things, sold little trinkets and whatever they sell. Okay, so certain merchants. So he told these merchants, Kizavintu Asa Me'akum, when you buy hadasim, okay, hadasim from the goyim, so they used to buy the hadasim from the goyim, lo tigzizu aton, okay, you Jewish merchants, shouldn't cut them from the fields of the goyim, ela ligzazuha inhu, rather let the goyim cut them, v'yahavu l'chu, and they'll give them to you. Okay, so again, the merchants who are buying stuff from the produce from the Goyim and selling it to other Jews, he's advising them to make sure that the Goyim cut off the Hadassim as opposed to the Jewish merchants cutting off the Hadassim. Okay? Fine. My time, huh? Why? Who really cares? Stam of the Kochavim Gazlane Arasa Ninu. Because Stam, a goy, steals land. Okay? So the land, basically, you have reason to suspect that it's stolen land, stolen from the Jews. Okay? So it's stolen. Vikarka in an exelas. But karka, you can never really be kona. You can't have a karkinion of gazela in a karka. Okay? And you can't exactly steal land. You could displace the owner, but you can't steal it, that it becomes yours. It's always his. Rashi. Karkan Exelas. Kalom on top of the page. He says, Kalomar Eina Kanuya Lagazlan Mishum Yesh. Del Ola Mechezkas by Leahu. Okay? So basically, the halacha is, in general, if I steal something, not land, regular, I don't know, a pen from somebody. So I steal the pen from somebody. Then under, let's say the guy gives up. He's miayish. Okay, and whatever else, and we'll see what happens. But there comes a point where it becomes my pen. Of course, I owe him money. It's not right, but whatever. But in terms of Kenyan, it could become my pen at some point. It could be no longer defined as that guy's pen. It could be defined as my pen. But land never works that way. Land is always belongs to the rightful owner, and you can never make a Kenyan on somebody else's field. Okay, even if the guy gives up, it doesn't matter. It's his field. Okay? So the land, even if the Goyim steal the land from a Jew, it's not the Goyim's land, it's the Jew's land. Okay, so what? So, Hilkach, okay, again, I'm going back to the Gemara. Okay? I'm going to go back to the Gemara. So it says, Hilkach, ligzazuha inhu, so therefore, they should cut it. Ki hechi delahave yish bailim biadaihu didhu. So therefore, what's going to happen is that the goy is going to chop down the hadasim. Then then whose hadasim are they at that point? They're the Jew's hadasim, the Jew who owns the field, the landowner's hadasim. Then the Jew is going to, now it's no longer karka, now it's actually metalto, now it's just movable objects. So now the Jew is basically gives up on his hadasim, because he was not getting it back from the goy. So the Jew is yeyosh. Yeyosh means he gives up on it. And he gives up on it. So now there's yeyosh, while the stuff is still in the hands of the goyim. V'shinoi harashos v'yadaychu. And then when they transfer the stuff to the Jewish merchants, when the goyim sell it, transfer it to the Jewish merchants, now you have a further step which brings about kinyan, which is shinoi rashos. Okay, there are different elements which bring about kinyan here. But you have two things. Apparently, at this stage, there's two things necessary for Kenyan. You have to have Yeyosh, means the original Baal has to give up, and also you need Shinei Rishos. You need to transfer the reshus, the property, transfer it from one domain, one person's domain, to another person's domain. When you have both of those, then it's a kinyan. Okay, then it's a kinyan. Then you become the new owner. So therefore, if the guy cuts down the hadasim, so then you have yeyosh. Then the Jew is the owner, or the landowner is going to have yeyosh, right, when it's in the hands of the guy. Then when the guy transfers it to the merchant, so then the merchant, that's going to be shinei reshus, and that will complete the kinyan. So now the thing is no longer, is not a stolen object. It's already a kanoi. It's owned by the merchant. So therefore, it'll be good for the mitzvah of lulav, of hadasim. Okay? But if, for instance, it was the other way, if you, Jewish merchants, cut these things off, so then you'd cut it off, right? That would be like this stealing it, I guess. That would be stealing it from the Jew. And then the guy, Jew, is going to have a yeyosh. He's going to give up on the thing, but now there's no shinui reshus. There's no transfer of a domain, and therefore the thing is still a stolen object. This thing still belongs to the original owner. There's no kinyan, and therefore you're not going to be able to use it. It'll be mitzvah of avera. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi explains this a little bit. Again, mekarka nilgzelis kolomer einu kinui legazlan b'shun yesh. The karka, the land, is never owned. Kinuya kanoi, transferred over to the god, to the thief, under no matter what yesh. So olam b'chazkas b'ilehu. Okay, the koy the nafkalim ben hizakim. So that's learned out from second. Alvamishin it l'shapri. But when you rip the detach the fruit, have a gazel. It's stolen. V'atolsha who goes up. The person who detaches it is the thief. Hilkach ligzazuha heinman hamechubar. Therefore, the goyim should detach it. V'yenu alachem, and they'll give it to you. Shiyu hein hagazlanim. Then, therefore, they'll be the thieves. V'atim lochanos amehem, and you're buying it from them. V'abaylam is yashuk kvar. But the baylam already gave up hope. Mikol haperos. V'aveyesh etzlan. Therefore, it's yeyosh is giving up by the owner, by in the hands of the guy. And there in the changes over from your their rishos to your rishos. Because savar yeyosh greda lo kani, and this shita held, Ruhuna holds, yeyosh alone is not enough for kinyan. Avil yeyosh v'shine rishos kani. But yeyosh combined with shine rishos, okay, giving up, the owner giving up hope, combined with transferring the part of the domain of the thing, it does complete the kinyan. So therefore, right, so therefore, it turns out that by the time the Jewish merchants get it, so therefore, it's no longer stolen. Now it just belongs to the Jewish merchants, and there's no Gaza, there's no status of Gaza. Okay. So far, yeah.
You don't need a non-Jew. You just need another person, right?
Yeah, you need another person, but the non-Jews are the one. You need another person. Need another person.
I don't know why they're singling out. Non-Jew.
Well, that's just the ones who they're buying it from. Because non-Jew is the one you assume that he stole it. Otherwise, he wouldn't assume it's stolen. Saying, since you're buying it from non-Jews, you assume that they stole the land. But a regular thing, you don't assume that you're buying stolen goods.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay, so then it says, Inami, v'inami kani. Right, so again, this is assuming that you say that yeyosh alone is not kona. Why? Because if yeyosh alone were kona, completed the transaction, so then, even if you merchants cut it off, so then you're stealing the thing, but then the guy's going to be miayish, he's going to give up, and then it's going to be yours. So who cares? So the whole premise of this thing is assuming that everyone holds that you need yeyosh and shinoi reshus. Okay? V'inami kani, or even if you want to argue that Rav Huna holds yeyosh alone is kona, mitzvah b'avera have. It's going to be mitzvah b'avera. Im atem tichatchuha min hamechubar tiu atem gozlam. So then, even if it is kona, even if you say the yeyosh is kona, bottom line is you guys are the thieves, and therefore, since you guys are the thieves, it's going to be mitzvah b'avera. It's going to be mitzvah b'avera, because you guys are the ones who stole it. Right? Even though it would be a Kenyan. Right? Even though it would be a Kenyan. So it seems like there's two different shatim. It seems like Rashi's kind of not sure. I mean, at first he's saying that you say that that neither of Huna must hold that Yesh alone isn't Kona. You need both. Yesh and Shinei Reshus. Why? Because if Yesh alone were Kona, so then who cares if you rip it off? You rip it off, then the guy's Miyash, and then it's not stolen anymore, it's yours. Aye, what about Mitzvah Avera? apparently it wouldn't be mitzvah over there anymore. Right? And the second pshat, he says, no, maybe even if you say that Yesh alon is kohen, it still is going to be mitzvah over there, because you're the ones who ripped it off. Right? So it seems like he's not really sure about, again, he has inami, he has two pshatim, whether or not, if you were to say that Yesh alone is gonna, that Yesh makes it into yours, so then if the merchants rip it off, which is stealing, an act of stealing, but then the guy gives up hope, then it becomes in the ownership of the merchants, and then the merchants would take it, for their mitzvah, would that be a problem? Mitzvah Bavera? Do you say, yeah, sure, you stole it? Or do you say, no, that wouldn't be because you're Konat? You're Konat. Right? So, I mean, this is going to get a little more complicated, but it's also already a little complicated because this whole thing, Yeshinu Rishos, what's going on? But that's the part which I hope to get to after this. But I think, I mean, for now, hopefully you're following the Cheshbon here, and you can kind of take that for granted, and we'll hopefully look into that next. But for granted, and the question is how insofar as it affects the question of mitzvah b'avera, it seems like here we have a chakira, we have two pshatim and Rashi, and different Rishonim talk about this. They talk about the question: is do you say something is mitzvah b'avera if the thing is already if you already kona the thing and it's already 100% yours, is that still mitzvah b'avera, or do you say no that if the thing is still the thing is no longer, is totally stolen, totally yours already, so that's not a problem, it's above Avera. Give me 1 second, let me just find that. There's a good tosis here, quotes it. Okay, so just to review the facts, okay? So if you weren't following it 100%, let me just try to get the main, what's relevant here. Okay, the question is these merchants are going to want to use this lulav, is they're buying stolen goods. They're buying from a stolen field, okay? They're buying from a stolen field, and they want to be able to use their hadas that they buy for the mitzvah. So the question is, but they're running into a problem of mitzvah b'avera, okay? So the question, the Gemara is trying to work out a way to get them around that problem, okay? So it basically says like this, is that if let me take the simplest case. Let's assume that they cut off the tree. They cut down the tree. So now that's an action of stealing. Because again, the tree belongs to a Jew and they're just cutting it down from a guy who's stolen. So that's an action of stealing his hadas. So they're thieves, basically. The merchants would be thieves when they cut it down. Okay, fine. But now the question is, would they be able to then use that hadas for the mitzvah? So in theory, you'd say no, because mitzvah b'avera. But you'll say, wait a second. But subsequent to them taking the tree down, so then the owner of the field is going to give up hope. He's going to say, listen, I'm not getting my hadas back. And Yeyush creates a kinyan. So therefore, it subsequently becomes owned by the merchants. So the question is, once it becomes owned by the merchants, do you say that the problem is of Avera disappears? Because now it's mine. So now I'm taking a Hadas, which is mine. It was stolen. That's history. That's history. Right? Or do you say, no, that's not history. Since you stole it, that's it. Doesn't matter if it's yours now. Bottom line is, now it's Miss Avera. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's a good question. Matt asks, so didn't the Gemara say that you're kona b'yesh? And saying is that even though you're kona, the Gemara said by karbon that when you steal something, and then you steal an animal, even though the guy had yesh, so saying still it's a problem. You're not allowed to take it because mitzvah avera, right? So the Gemara there seems to be saying that it works even if you say even if it is Kenyan, it seems like it's still mitzvah b'avera, right? Yeah. So Tosos learns that. I mean, Tosos deals with this. This is a Tosos of Hakanya B'yeish. Okay, but basically he chops this whole thing up. But he basically learns, the Gemara there is talking about, that there's, it says, 1 second. Yeah, he wants to say that the Gemara, he has different girsa, but he says it's your kona with Yeyush and Shina Hashem. Because there's another thing. There's different steps that could create the kenyan. But one thing is Yeyush. Another thing we said is if it's Shino Yeshua, so it transfers ownership. Another thing is if it changes its identity. So, for instance, you could argue that Yeyush alone wouldn't do kenyan, but Yeyush and changing its identity will. So, for instance, if you steal something from somebody, and then he has Yeyush, and then you're makdash it. You give it, you give it to the mikdash. You give it a status of hekdash as a karbon. So then, defining it as hekdash will commence the create complete the kenyan. Will culminate the kenyan, because that's shino hashem. You're changing its identity from a regular animal to a karban animal. So the saying is that even if you say that shino yish isn't kona, but the yish together with the being makdash it will be kona. And Tosa says then if you're kona that, then the very identity of the thing of hekdash is based on Avera, because that's what culminates the Kenyan, the Gneva. That's actually what's causing the Gneva. Is causing the completion of the Gneva is your being Makdashit. So then that will be Mitzvah Avera. Okay, but if it's yours 100% beforehand, if Yesh alone would be Kona, and it's yours 100% before you Makdashit, before the Mitzvah, before everything, and it's totally history, Then he holds the status of the stealing of the Avera has absolutely no relationship halachically to the mitzvah, and therefore it's not you don't say mitzvah Avera. It's only because the Avera becomes related to the karbon. The way it's related to the karbon is because the very action of being makdash it was the conclusion of the geneva. But that's what Tosas is holding. It's like the mitzvah Avera has to have some relationship between the Avera and the Mitzvah. So he says, if the object is defined as a stolen object, then fine. So then you can say that. Or if the action of making it hektish was the completion of Geneva, then again, there's a relationship. Okay, or if the thing is still owned by the other guy, so then you'll say, also, it's an object which has a status of stolen. But Tosis holds, that if the thing is 100% yours, then he says, forget about it. And then you can't be Mitzvah above there. Okay? Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'll read you the Ron. I mean, the Ron, I think, spells it out explicitly. But he says, if you want, you can look in, or you can just listen to me. But it's the Ron, and you give him a base. He says, Gumihu. It's in the paragraph of Le'inyan. There's a period, four lines into the paragraph. When do we say that a stolen lulav is a problem? It's a vavera. That's when you have not yet purchased the thing. You're not yet kani it. It's an okinion. Inami shekanahu elisha mitzvah misayata bekinion. Or, if you did be kani it, but the mitzvah itself is helping out, is completing the kinion. The mishamachi amrinon. Because that's why we say by the karban, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Gabi karban hagazel, apostle shows up over the Shilab Yochanan, the Yeshvi Gdi Lokani, because Yochanan holds Yeshel and is in Kona, but in such a Lokana Gavo, Elabishina Rishos, Aikdash. Right? Because so the Kenyan is completed with the giving it to Aikdash. So therefore, the Avera, that's the completion of the Geneva, is that which makes an Aikdash. Right? Aval, I'm skipping a little. But if you are kone at 100% without the help of the mitzvah, then there's no mitzvah above there anymore. Okay, then there's no mitzvah above there anymore. Right, as he says, once the kinyan is totally before the mitzvah, then there's no problem with the above there anymore. And then so he ends off. Elavadayim demashma the kol shenigna legamri kol the mitzvah is totally kol kenyan before the mitzvah sulek al mitzvah mitzvah avera. You don't have to worry about mitzvah avera anymore. Okay, so that's what the Ron's holding, that's what Tosa's holding. But it seems like Rashi over here is entertaining the possibility, or even Rashi in the Gemara that Matt, that you were quoting, Rashi doesn't sound like that matters. He just says that even if it's Yeosh, he says, Afal Gav, I'm kind of reading in the middle of Rashi, Afal Gav Delinia Mikne, I'm reading the above a comment, the Kani Levi Yeosh, even though it's yours, and Kenyan, and it's yours, Afilachi, Akrivin Lozbeach Lo, you still can't bring on the Mizbeach. So now you can't use it for a carbon. Can use it for a carbon. You're right. I mean, that's what it sounds like from the Gemara. I mean, some of Shari in the Gemara definitely is like, not like that. I mean, that's what you're saying. So Pshat is, it's like Olamis, it compares it to a lame animal. Just like a lame animal has no way to fix it, so too stolen has no way to fix it. What do you mean there's no way to fix it? You can fix it very easily, just make a Kenyan or whatever. But I mean that's how they have to work around it. But the Gemara, but Rashi's saying, so that's the same question over here, is that do you say that the guys, that these merchants, if they stole it, then it doesn't matter if there's Kenyan at all, there's nothing you can do. If you're the mamish, the thief, Rashi's saying is the merchants are the ones who steal it, then they can never use it. I don't care if they do Kenyan. Therefore, rather, what you should do, you should have the goy steal it, and then, since the goy is the one who stole it, and then he gave it to you, so then by the time you get it, it's not stolen, and it's yours, and then you can take it. Right, so he's saying is, but if you stole it, then there's no way to fix it. According to one way in Rashi. The other way in Rashi is, no, I don't care if you stole it, bottom line is, if you're a kona, the thing afterwards, then there's no problem. Okay, so I'm thinking like this, is, I think it's actually good with what we've been talking about, okay, and it fits in nicely to the way we've been defining this again, okay, and that is if you remember what we were talking about, the idea of mitzvah of avera is that there's like a contradiction between mitzvah and avera, and if the status of mitzvah and avera coexist, that it's not defined as mitzvah, right? Because we said mitzvah is like a subordination to the system, and avera is breaking the system, and if halachically the two coexist, so then there's a problem, right? It can't have a status of mitzvah. It can't be an action of subordinate to the system insofar as it's grounded in avera. Okay. So then we had a question, for instance, well, let's say the object is an object of avodah zarah. An object of avodah zarah. So then if you take that, then how could that be a mitzvah? Right? Or if you do a maisa of ripping a shirt, which is a maisa of chil Shabbos, which is a maisa of avera. So then how could that be a mitzvah? But the Gemara, we saw that from the case, that it's not true. That even if the chavetz is of avodah zarah, it's not a mitzvah of avera. And even if the action is a maisa of chil Shabbos, it's not a mitzvah of avera. Because we said the contradiction is really in the framework of the gavra. Which means that the idea is that gavra is subordinating himself to the system. And if a gavra is mitzvah is enabled by avera, so then that's the contradiction. That's the problem. Then it's not. Then that's the silliness of avera. If the gavra is accomplishing his mitzvah via using the vehicle of avera, the avera brings about his mitzvah. So that's the kind of problem of avera. But for instance, the chavtza is of avodah zarah. Who cares? He doesn't need it to be avodah zarah. That just happens to be the history of the thing. He's just taking it. Stolen, he's stealing it, and that's how he's doing the mitzvah. He's doing the mitzvah because he's stealing it. If he never stole it, he'd never be able to do the mitzvah. But here, if it weren't avodah zarah, that's irrelevant. Some guy bowed down to it, sometime, whatever. That has nothing to do with him. So it's not like his mitzvah is enabled through avera. It happens to be the chavtza of avera, but who cares? It doesn't matter if the chavtza is the status of avera. And similarly, if you rip the shirt on Shabbos, so it could be the mitzvah of ripping kriya for a relative, for a passed on relative, because I don't care that the maisa happens to be a maisa chol Shabbos. The point is that the gavra is not doing the kriya through chol Shabbos. The chol Shabbos isn't enabling his mitzvah. He could have ripped it after Shabbos. He could have just as well waited. It happens to be he decided to be a bad guy and rip it on Shabbos. But it's not like the mitzvah, the avera, is that which is enabling the gavra's doing the mitzvah. So the whole idea is that we've been developing is that the contradiction of avera is essentially when the gavra's mitzvah is brought about, is enabled through avera. It doesn't matter. It's not a din in the maisa mitzvah. The maisa mitzvah is if it's a maisa of avera, it's not a din in the chavtza. If the chavtza is a chavtza avera, that's irrelevant. What matters is that the gavra's asiya, the gavra's doing of the mitzvah, the avoda, and because we show that's the idea of avoda, the framework of avoda is the gavra's sworn himself to the system. If the gavra brings it about through avera, then that's the where the contradiction lies. Okay, so now the thing the Gemara is doing is like the converse. Is let's say the gavra is bringing it about, the gavra's mitzvah is enabled through avera, but halachically it has the chafza is totally is not nothing in the chafza. The shem geneva doesn't reside in the chafza, and the maisa, there's no concrete halachic reality to the fact that it was stolen. Okay, it's purely just that the court enabled him to do it was his stealing. Okay, does the gavra, could the gavra, the gavra's mitzvah being enabled by avera exist purely because in terms of the framework of the gavra and the, what he knows, or so to speak, historically, he was enabled to do the mitzvah through his stealing? Or do you say that fact that the gavra is enabled, his mitzvah is enabled by avera, has to register somewhere halachically? So in the chafza it has a status of gezeh gezula, or it has to be somehow registered on the halachic playing field. But purely the fact that historically that's what happened, that's the underlying problem, but that problem, according to Tosfos, has to be realized halachically through the chafza having a status of gazel, or through his mitzvah being the maisa of gezela, through his makdish, the animal, as being a maisa gezela, and simultaneously a maisa of making hektish and a maisa of a gezela. But if the thing is history, if he stole something, but subsequent to his stealing the thing, it becomes his, and now the chafta is 100% his, and all it is purely history of the guy, of the guy's how he got it a long time ago. So that doesn't affect anything. That doesn't affect anything, and that doesn't register halachically. Whereas Rashi's holding is that no, that since the whole problem is of avera, is a problem in the gavras, it is mitzvah being enabled through avera. Who really cares whether it registers in the chafza or not? The point is, he stole it, and because of his stealing it, he's able to do the mitzvah. Okay? So again, just to take it full circle, is that we previously set up that if the problem of mitzvah of avera is only if there's a problem, that the gavra's mitzvah is enabled through avera. And if you have just the chafza as a status of avera, or the maisa as a status of avera, that does not matter. That doesn't matter. Okay? What matters is the mitzvah is enabled through avera. But does it mean that the chafza or the maisa alone cannot create the status of mitzvah of avera? Rather, it works through the gavra. But does the gavra work on its own and has nothing to do with the maisa or the chafza? Or do you say that the gavra is an amorphous halachic thing? It's a causational, it's history. So the gavra is recognized insofar as that property that the gavra did it through mitzvah somehow registers on the halachic playing field, namely through the chafza or through the maisa or something. Somehow has to somehow register. Purely history is true, it has the underlying problem of mitzvah of error, but it never is realized halachically because there's no mechanism. Or do you say no, that alone is enough? That since it's a din in the avoda of the gavra, so his avoda is lacking if he brought it about through avera, and it purely recognizes the historicity of the thing, how it came about. It doesn't matter if it has a halachic construct with which it works. But definitely the halachic construct alone without the gavra is not mitzvah avera, because the heart of the mitzvah avera is about the gavra. But the only question is does that gavra have to find its realization halachically through a more concrete, rigorous halachic construct? Or is the gavra, is it purely in the framework of the gavra, and therefore I don't care whether it registers in any halachic framework, it's purely so far as the avodah of the gavra. It's in history. So you see, the point is like, a gavra lives in history. See, history, halachically, you'll say, where is it? Halachically, it used to be stolen, but now halachically it's not stolen. So is it history? Who cares about history? But the point is, gavras care about history. They care about history. People live in a world and they have objects and they relate to objects as stolen. And therefore you can say a person relates to this thing as a stolen object, the thing which he stole. He stole it and is using it for mitzvah. So even though that doesn't reside anywhere halachically, but in the frame, in the mind of the gavra, it's a reality. This is objects which he stole. So you could say that the gavra's, the fact that insofar as he's concerned, it's a stolen object. Even if there's no halachic concrete reality, insofar as he's concerned, it is, and therefore you say the psul of mitzvah of avera is contradiction to the gavra oved, that this can't be defined as avoda for you because it's grounded in avera, you'll say, look, it's grounded in avera. Where? Nothing, nowhere in the concrete, but insofar as the framework of the gavra, it's grounded in the it's grounded in avera and it's above avera. So you could say that. So Rashi's holding that bottom line is, if you stole the thing, then insofar as you're concerned, you're using avera to accomplish a mitzvah. That's a contradiction. That can't be defined as mitzvah. That's what he says, is that tiam atem gozlem. As I said, you are the thief. So there's a reality of a gazlan, and this object is the object that you stole, and that's a part of contradiction. But Tosas holds that that's true, that's the underlying problem here, but halachically it has to find itself through the chafza, through the status in the chafza. It has to be realized halachically. If you have a status in the chafza without the gavra, of course it's not going to be a problem. But even the status of the fact that the gavra's avoda is lacking, it has to register in some concrete halachic reality. Namely, the idea that it's a chavtza's gazel. Yeah, I just want to mention, by the way, just one thing Tosas does mention. I mean, this is not so complex, not so simple, because there are a lot of Gemaras. I'm kind of cutting out a lot of the Cheshbon. But one thing is interesting is Tosas kind of implies that there's a Gemara. The Gemara basically implies that it's mitzvah of avera, the case where you steal wheat and then you take challah off and you make a bracha. So it kind of implies, the Gemara implies that that's mitzvah of avera, even though you were kohenet originally. So Tosafot says that maybe the reason why is because that's talking about bracha. And in bracha you have haskara shem shamayim. Haskara l'shem shamayim. You're saying like shem Hashem, l'shem Hashem, it's shevach. So therefore, even if you would say mitzvah b'avera doesn't register, if it's not concretized in the chafza, let's say, still, when it comes to bracha, then it's still going to be a problem. It's still going to be a problem, which I think is good. I mean, the direction I think is good, is that in bracha, you're dealing with the gavra's reality, the gavra giving shevach before God. Like the ritzoi kind of angle, you know? It's like there's a reality, the person is giving shevach based upon avera. So even if you'd argue in like a mitzvah of lulav, in like a technical mitzvah, so it has to be realized in a concrete tzura, it doesn't mean that there's not a lack in the gavra. And the kiyum in shevach is that the gavra, it's not a tzura, it's a tzura, a halachically formalized action. The kiyum is the gavra is involved in the shevach, and insofar as the gavra is grounded in avera, so then it's still going to be a problem. So even Tosas is entertained, he's not sure, but he entertains the possibility that even if you'd say in general and in mitzvah of avera, it's concretized and it has to be through chafta, you could argue that when it comes to bracha, it would be different. So a little bothersome to me is, yeah, what about karban? Like, karban is ritzoy, and, you know, and Lulavi says ritzoy. You know, like, why is he singling out bracha? But I do see, like, those other things are, it's true they're ritzoy, but they're halachic tzuras of actions. There's bringing a karban, there's a zahala, there's a ma'isa mitzvah. And there's the take a look at the ma'isa mitzvah. So it's true, ritzoy is like a facet. But you could argue in bracha, the whole idea, it's an activity of thinking about God and verbalizing thoughts about God, you know? So you could argue that sounds like it's Tosas entertaining. And maybe you'll argue, here's a problem from a Gemara. He says, maybe you could argue that even if I say my svara, I could say, see, differentiating bracha. You know? Which is interesting. I mean, I think we're in the, you know, I mean, we bear thinking about, but it seems like we're you know, in the right ballpark of the thing. You know, I'm not sure. He himself isn't sure about it, you know. Okay, but fine, so that's that. Now, so I think that's basically rounds off. I mean, I think it comes around a nice full circle. I mean, it kind of ties up a lot of the issues. And there's a lot to do here. I mean, I'm kind of taking a quick view of Mitzvah Avera. And there's a lot of detail. I'm trying to cut out a lot of the cheshbon, but especially in this point, there's Tosus and there's a lot of cheshbon, a lot of gemaras, a lot of, you know, the other Rishon will talk about it. So, I mean, we did a nice little survey here. You know, took up a bunch of the points. I think we have a better feel for the sugya. But, you know, there's certainly more to go into it. So, but for now, what I'd like to do is to digress to this next part of the sugya, which kind of, we say, let me bring up it to the Bavera partially. But this question about, it gets into the Kenyan questions. So Kenyan, so again, the question is basically, is that you have machlokas, I guess, let's take it like this, is that if I steal an object, so if I steal an object, it's not mine, it's yours. It's still yours. It's stolen. Stolen object. You still own it, I have to give it back to you. Okay? But the question is, once you do yeyosh, does it now become mine? Okay? As once the guy says, eh, the heck with it, I lost it, you know? That's the way it works by, right, and that's the way it works by Aveda.
Right.
By lost object. If the guy's Miyais, then he gave up on it, that's how he gave up on it. But the question is, do you say that Yeish alone, I think it's just by Gezela, do you say that Yeish is Kona, once he gives up on it, that's a Kenyan? Or do you say that you need Yeish and then also Shina Rishas? Okay, that you need first the guy who gives up on it, and then the object gets transferred to another guy, and then it becomes a Kenyan. Okay. So what could we, I mean, let's see if we could try to work our way into the sugya. I mean, we're kind of, you know, we're not in the sugya. So, I mean, we're going to have things that are going to be tentative here, but at least could we try to get some thoughts in the area. You know, and then you'll see, then there's another question of Shina Hashem. The thing changes its name. And it's a Shina Maisa if you do an action to it. I mean, there are different ways in which the Stalnage in this case is gone. So that's, hopefully we'll start with that tomorrow. And I mean, so we're basically working through this page of Gemara, Tiltan Rabban on top of Lamed Aleph. Okay, so maybe we'll try to do some of that tomorrow, maybe a little bit next week. Okay, any questions? Lamed Aleph.